I'm at a point now, Philip, and I'm talking about it's taken me years to get to this point, where because I cannot comprehend the Big Bang Theory, I've honestly have become a little more spiritual in my theories, and I'm beginning to really believe that something very divine happened, as opposed to the theory of the Big Bang Theory, because I'm beginning to turn to that. I don't know if you ever have. You got a science mind, and most scientists do not do that, but that's what's beginning to happen to me.
You find that a larger fraction of scientists than, I hate to say the public or lay people or any of those terms, but people who don't do science professionally, say, you find that more scientists tend to be non-religious than the public at large.
And that's true, absolutely.
But there is, in fact, a large fraction of scientists who are religious. And there are, of the remaining people, I would say that a lot of them still feel...
But keep in mind, though, I said spiritual, not religious on my point.
Right. And I suppose it depends on what you mean by spiritual. I mean, the bottom line of that is spirit, which still implies something... maybe not supernatural, but something beyond the evidence. And I'm saying that when I look through a telescope at let's say Saturn, which is up now, as a matter of fact, if I were to walk outside right now, I'd be able to see it up in the sky. There is a sense of awe, a sense of majesty. Carl Sagan, in his book Contact, called it the numinous. It's a sense of something bigger than yourself, something that we interpret many times as being spiritual or religious. These may or may not be valid interpretations. That's not up to me to say for somebody else. But for me, I wouldn't use the word divine, but certainly the machinery of the universe, the way it fits together, the way everything works, is an astonishing, majestic, awe-inspiring thing. And to be a part of that is amazing to me. That we are, I mean, this almost sounds silly, but we are, in a sense, the universe trying to understand itself. We are a part of the universe, and by observing it, we are observing, you know, what we are. And so, you know, I think was it Alexander Pope who said that the proper study of man is man? And I sometimes wonder if the proper study of man is everything else.
Well, there's no question that there will be a meshing of science and spirituality, I think, sooner than later, because I think they both have answers, and I think they come to a very definitive answer if they are, melded together.
Well, there are a lot of questions that right now we can't answer. You know, what happens when you die? What happens right before you die? Maybe not even so much that, but what is the fate of the universe? What will happen? What is the nature of time? You know, why does time's arrow point forward instead of backwards? You know, why do all these things happen? What is it about the universe itself that sets the laws the way it is? And some people turn to religion for that. Some people seek it out as a mystery to be solved. And there is comfort, I think, in religion that science can't necessarily provide. But I've also found that over the years, that many things that were in the purview of science—excuse me—in the purview of religion, have been explained by science. And so there's this God of the gaps idea that what you can't explain with science just sort of gets relegated to religion. That's a very dangerous practice, because what happens is it makes religion shrink, and that's not really what a religious person wants to have happen. I think you have to be careful about what you assign science to versus religion to, so that you're not necessarily, insulting somebody's faith, I think.
No, that's true. I'm beginning to think science, if you look at events that science talks about and equate it with things that we've learned on a spiritual level and apply it to each one, you come up with some pretty interesting possibilities. And I don't know, it's just happening to me now, and I have no idea why.
Well, as a lot of scientists get older, they become a little more thoughtful and philosophical. Some of them turn to religion, some don't. Some of them go nuts.
So are you saying when a talk show host gets old, that's what he does?
Well, I don't know how old you are. I don't think you're that old.
No, I don't think so.
On the other hand, you know, I know a lot of people who are rock-hard rationalists, and they're in their late 70s or early 80s. And, you know, everybody has a different take on this. And I think that there's a lot of room for a lot of different ways of thinking about things. I'm not what you would call a religious person. That shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody who's heard me talk on this show before, because I demand evidence for things. And I've seen too many things go wrong when they're not based on evidence. And people say, do you have faith in anything? And I think, well, no, I wouldn't use the word faith, because in a very simple definition, faith means belief. It means trusting in something without evidence. I prefer the word trust, because trust is something that is earned. And so, if you see something happening over and over again, you trust it will happen again. You don't really believe it will happen again. And so I try to make a distinction between those two words. And so I have a lot of interesting discussions with friends of mine who are religious. And we do talk about things like the Big Bang and where this fits in with their religious beliefs. And we always wind up ending these conversations by saying, go where the evidence leads you. If the universe is telling you something, then, you know, the universe pretty much knows what it's doing. And if you have a belief which is clearly contradicted by the way the universe is behaving, well, then one of you is wrong.
But see, what's happening too is, I mean, how many times do we read and see that scientists are baffled by something that they've discovered in the universe, or some event has changed their thought patterns from what they always believed? And it's happening all the time.
Sure. That a lot of people think that that's the weakness of science, that it lacks the solidness of faith, that, you know, my faith cannot be shaken. And I say, but that's the weakness of faith, in my opinion, and the strength of science. Because what happens is, if you absolutely believe 100% that something is true, then you're rejecting any evidence that comes along that shows that you're wrong. And so you can, in science, you can never be 100% absolutely sure, because you never know. Another piece of evidence might come along and show that you're wrong. And that's why science is so strong.